You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Just want to quickly shout out all of our partners and thank them for the support. Enhanced CBD, Performance Box Supplements, Fortress Fightwear, Bocca Jewelry and Core Hand Wraps. We really thank you for the support. We've got codes and links to all of them and we'll post them with the episode link.
And now, for fans around the world, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. Out of Liverpool, England!
It was super necessary.
Hello and welcome back to Super Necessary. Today I'm delighted to say that we're joined by WBC ranked Muay Thai welterweight fighter. Welterweight, what am I saying? I apologize. Light heavyweight. I'm taking a few pounds off you there, mate. It's been a long day. I apologize. Daniel Bonner.
Hi, mate. You all right?
Yeah, good. Thanks, mate. How are you?
Yeah, sound mate, Dan.
Well, thanks very much for joining us. Appreciate you taking the time.
No, thanks for having us.
So just to clarify, you are definitely light heavyweight. You're not a welterweight.
Yeah, yeah. I've been a welterweight for a long time, yeah.
Don't know where I've got that from, but let's just crack on now. Let's say about that the better. Yeah. So first things first, congratulations on getting married last weekend.
That was Matthew, that wasn't me. That was Matthew.
Yeah, you were the cuss out, weren't you?
Yeah. I made an appearance tonight, yeah.
So, Quinn, if you want to tell the difference between these two, have a look at these. It shows you his and
his. Yeah.
He's got the cauliflowers.
So, speaking of you and Matt, I just wanted to ask very quickly, if he's the beast, does that make you beauty?
Well, I wouldn't say so, would you? No. We're both as ugly as each other, aren't we, to be fair?
Yeah, obviously, all joking aside, congratulations on becoming a two-time European champion. So did the fight go basically how you had planned?
Yeah, I mean, I've been looking at some... He was good, he was a good opponent. I've been looking at some of his stuff on YouTube, but it was all from, like, 3-4 years ago, so you have to take it with a bit of a grain of salt. He was good, he was really good, and I think on the night, I was just better. My corner, like my coach and the guys who were in my corner were bang on in the corner. They were really good. The advice they give, as soon as they did it, everything worked really well. So I think that was the difference between me and him, is I just listened to my corner better and executed what they were telling me.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Was there anything about Marley Zwanenberg that did surprise you at all?
Just everything he did hurt, even when I defended or even when I was catching his kicks. He's a big guy with 79.5 kilos, aren't we? But everything he did hurt. Like, I didn't show it. You can never show it. But he was strong. He was big. He probably, apart from that, no, not really. He didn't score as well. He spent so much time inside. I think he's lived in town for the last 3 years. Considering he has, I don't think his scoring was as good as mine. Like, body kicks wise, I don't know if you know anything about the Thai scoring, but scoring to the bodies, like kicking the bodies, a lot better than kicking the leg. So he surprised me from that point of view that he didn't score as well as I did.
Yeah, obviously we're still fairly new to Thai and that. So could you explain some of the scoring system for people who may not know?
Scoring's a bit of a nightmare, really. It's easy to understand it once you understand it, but it's kind of like the weights around it. Like the first two, they score them, they count, but as the fight goes on, it's like the fourth round's the biggest round. It's massive. If that's the money round in town where they're putting all the bets on and stuff. So it's kind of like they see it as a marathon, not a sprint. So I could lose round one, two, and three, win four and five, and still win the fight, even though I've lost the first three rounds.
Right.
Yeah, so again, with the scoring wise, you've got to, anyone could kick the leg, kicking legs really easy. And it's, they want to see you kicking the body or clinching or kneeing the body, sweeps and stuff like that. It's more technical than, say, kickboxing or K1 is.
But really, then in a 5-round fight in Thai, you've got to sort of, if you're expecting it to go the distance, I suppose you've got to be a lot smarter with how you approach the fight.
Like I said about the first two rounds, it don't mean as much. So if I go in there in the first two rounds and show all my cards straight away, then I've got nothing to leave for the big 3 and 4. Then, do you know what I mean? I've got to come for it a bit more clever, a bit more intelligent. I've got to save all my clever stuff, all the good stuff for the later rounds where it matters the most.
So do you do a lot of strength and conditioning then, since the focus is more the last few rounds?
Yeah, I'm with the same guy, Paul Reed at Vortex. I'm the same guy Matthew is.
Yeah.
He's just faster. I mean, it definitely brought us on to the next level, all this S&C stuff.
Yeah, his body of work kind of speaks for itself. Yeah. And the fighters he's got there is incredible.
Yeah, he's bang on. He's really good. And say even Matthew, the last, you've seen it in his last four fights, is physically, he's on another level than he was before he started working with Paul.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So obviously with Matt, you had to obviously miss the wedding where you were the best man. Obviously, yeah. I'd say you made a small appearance, but how difficult is it when you've got to make those kind of sacrifices?
Not as hard as you think it would. It sounds bad me saying that, but I know for a fact if Matthew had a fight in the UFC or he had to defend his belt and I was getting married, right, you'd do the same. We've been doing this a while now. We've not had loads of fights with Matthew, but we're doing this for ages. I might not get another fight this year. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? I've got nothing booked in. So, especially on a big Charlotte Muay Thai Grand Prix, you can't really turn those opportunities down. You can't do it. You've got to do it. Do you know what I mean? If you want to get anywhere in the sport, you've got to make sacrifices like that.
Yeah.
Without moaning about it, just get on with it. Do you know what I mean? It is what it is.
Same with everything. At an elite level of sport, you've got to make those sacrifices. It's sort of part and parcel of it, isn't it?
That's what separates you from everybody else. That's why everyone else isn't doing it. Do you know what I mean? That's why we're doing it and not everyone can, because you've got to make those decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. So following your win, obviously you're now back in the top 10 WBC rankings.
Yeah, when it gets reviewed at the end of the month, I should be going back in the top 10, yeah.
Yeah. So what is the next aim? Would that be a world title for you, or have you still got a bit more to do UK, European level?
I had a word with the two guys who run Muay Thai Grand Prix, Simon Jays and Folk Chu. I had a word with Simon after the fight and said, like, I want... Their world champion is called Alexander Milos, who's a Greek lad. So he's the world champion at Muay Thai Grand Prix at 79.5. So that would be the fight that I'd want more. That's the big one for me, is maybe get that. And then you've got Michael Benatar, who's the French guy. I can cut down to 76 as well. I've got no problem with doing that. So I could maybe fight him, who's a French guy. He's the Muay Thai Grand Prix world champion at 76. And then we've got the guys like, there's Australian Charlie Bob, who I've wanted to fight for ages. He's world number two at the minute. And then the big guy is George Mann, a Scottish guy who fights out of Australia. Now he lives in Australia. He's a WBC champion. He's top of the food chain. That's if everyone wants him. If you're in the top 10 or you're doing the sport, you don't want to fight the WBC champion, then I don't really see a point of doing it, to be honest. That's the big one, yeah.
So obviously WBC is a very recognised name, of course, outside of Muay Thai as well. Yeah. So is that the pinnacle with Thai, WBC? Yeah.
One FC or WBC, yeah, that's pretty much the pinnacle of sport, yeah.
And you kind of helped us go into the next one there. You mentioned Charlie Bubb. I know about 2 years ago you called him out, and you know, at the time he was number one. So did dating come from that?
Yeah, he was scheduled to come over. He was scheduled to come fight me on my gym's home show in Wigan, and that was just before COVID hit. So it all got cancelled, which was a shame. He's a lovely guy. I really like Charlie. We speak not all the time, but we speak a bit on Instagram and stuff. But we both just really want to fight each other. He's a bit like me. Do you know what I mean? I think if you're ranked in the top 10 in the world, then we should be fighting each other all the time.
Yeah.
That's the thing that kind of gets on my nerves in the UK, is the top 5 guys in my division never fight. We never, ever fight. I'm ready to go. I could fight next week if I wanted to. Do you know what I mean? And that's what it should be like. We should be fighting each other all the time. So there's a possibility. I'm UK number 4 at the minute. if you don't fight within a year, you get chucked out of the ranking. So I could go to UK number one just because they're getting chucked out because they're not active, which is not the way I wanted to get UK number one, but there's nothing I can do about it. I'm active, they're not. It is what it is, isn't it?
It's unusual, isn't it?
I live this. I mean, this is all I want to do. If I'm not fighting, then retire. Get out of the sport, get out of the rankings, get out of my way. Do you know what I mean? That's what I think it should be.
And like you said, you can't help it. If they're inactive, you've just got to focus and concentrate on yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll leave it up to my coach. I want to fight as much times as possible.
So before we go on to the next question, I just want to get your view. Obviously, you mentioned one championship there. Yeah. What were your thoughts on that Petrosian knockout?
It was heavy, wasn't it? Yeah, I was watching it I was at Trafford Centre yesterday, so I was watching it walking around Primark with my missus and the baby. And I just stopped to start shouting. I couldn't believe it. I didn't expect that at all. Did not expect that one.
Yeah, I don't think anyone expected that to happen.
It was heavy, I think he's broke his jaw as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think Chiarello put a post. I think he spoke to his brother. And he's broken his jaw and he's getting surgery.
Yeah.
So, crazy,
incredible. So obviously, that's it. It's the sport, isn't it? Yeah, it can happen. So, wish him a quick recovery from if he has broke his jaw. Yeah. So obviously, you're repping it at the moment. You run the Forge Fight Academy with obviously your brother Matt and Rob Lightburn, is it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. How's that been going recently? How's
everything
going there?
Yeah, really busy. I think now's the time where Warrington's always been big for Thai boxing. Do you know what I mean? There's been loads of good gyms. My coach, Kev Harper, who runs a gym in Wigan that I go to, he started in Warrington and there's always been kind of tradition in Warrington for Thai boxing, but never so much MMA. I don't really think there's any decent MMA gyms in Warrington apart from us. So hopefully, I think we're starting to take over a little bit now. And I don't know if I was training under someone, I want to train under Matthew's a world champion. I'm a two-time European champion. Why would you want to go anywhere else? I'd want to train at the best way. There's nothing wrong. You don't have to fight to be a coach, but if you're in the corner and I'm giving you advice and I've never fought, how do I know how you feel? I've never been in that position before. So I think you should know how to do weight cuts. You should know what it feels like to fight and be top level. That's what I'd want anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Has there been an increase in numbers then following, obviously, like your title wins and Matt becoming the champ as well? Have you seen an increase?
Yeah, especially in MMA class since Matthew. Because we kind of streamed it in the gym as well, invited loads of people to go and watch it because we kind of streamed it on the wall.
Yeah.
All right. So that was really good. And the MMA class is definitely, the Thai boxing's always been busy, but the MMA is definitely kind of really caught up now. You get your 15, 16, 17 people coming in and the classes are booming. We're looking at getting some fighters out at the end of the year now as well.
Brilliant. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Do you get many people sort of coming in to one side of things? So, like, you get people coming in, starting off in Thai, seeing the MMA stuff and going off to that and vice versa?
Yeah, definitely. And what we do now is we do, like, the white collar as well. So, we do, like, the white collar boxing or we do, like, the white collar MMA now. So, once they finish doing their, like, 8 weeks of the white collar training, they have to fight and then they're sticking around then as well. And they carry, because they want to carry on training, they've really enjoyed it. So it's good to see some of them guys kind of sticking and coming to the classes, the public classes as well.
Yeah,
that white collar stuff, is that like where you're training for 8 weeks and then
Most of them have never done anything before, so they come like completely clean slates, blank slates, and then they do their 8 weeks and they're matched accordingly with someone their own experience there.
Yeah.
How interesting are them events for you? Because obviously you get to see someone's progression potentially from nothing up to having a fight 8 weeks later.
Yeah, Joe, I've got nothing but positive things to say about it. No one, knockouts happen, but again, that's the nature of the beast. You can go and play football and break your leg, can't you? It's one of them. But like you see some of the guys and the dead nerves about coming in and they can barely make eye contact with you. Then 8 weeks later, they're fighting in front of hundreds of people. Joe, they've done something they'll remember for the rest of their lives. I think it's really good.
Yeah,
they are great events. Yeah, for good causes as well. A lot of the time, they're entertaining. A mate of mine done the white collar boxing a few years ago when it was a great event. They're brilliant. They're great to see.
I'm not saying they're going to walk in and be like Conor McGregor or whatever, but they do the best, and you can't really knock them for that. I don't think.
No. Yeah. Do you get people coming back after the 8 weeks is up? Do you get people signing on for good then?
Yeah, definitely. That's another reason why we do it. because you get people, like say, continuing the journey, I suppose, and carrying a trade and maybe wanting to fight amateur. And then if that goes well, they can go to pro then as well. Do you know what I mean? So it's a good journey for them, I think.
Yeah, it's a good way to get them, open the door for them, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
And I think I've seen a post, are you using the middle of June, one of those now for Ultra, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, the Ultra MMA. It's all underneath like Ultra White Core Boxing. So the Ultra White Core Boxing is obviously the boxing one, but their MMA side is called Ultra MMA, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
There you go. So there is one person that I'd like to just ask you about very quickly, is Glenn Blackburn.
Yeah.
So I attend Alliance every so often. I've got a personal trainer in there, but I get to see Glenn in training and stuff like that. Yeah. And in training, he's an animal. So I know he fights out of Forge when he fights. What's he like when he's in a fight camp?
He's that majestic. Yeah, you know what? Glenn's the nicest fellow in the world. Ridiculously handsome, really good-looking guy, which is in the arse, isn't it, when he's standing next to him like me. Yeah, he's just a lovely fellow. He cornered me on last Saturday from a fight.
All right, okay.
Yeah, so he's come to London off his own back with Kevin and Josh and Matty and cornered me. So just a top guy, really, and a really nice guy. And he's really good. Top 10 UK. Top 5. Top one if he carries on. He's really, really good, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, I've seen him putting people through the paces, and like it makes me tired watching him put them through the paces. He's on another level, like to what I do at the minute. Like, so he's crazy.
Yeah, top guy.
So, and this might sound like a mad question, but how was the decision made for yourself to pursue Ty? And for Matt to pursue Melee, what made you just go in sort of different directions?
We both started off kickboxing, we were about 10, and then I think after about 4 or 5 years, we kind of both drifted off from that. And then we both started doing MMA at the Wolf Slayer and stuff, and then that got burnt down, and it was all a bit of drama there. And then it was kind of like we were both competing, and I was kind of like winning one, losing one. So I just thought I'd give Ty a go, just to kind of, because me and Matthew both the same, the pressure that we feel the most is the pressure we put on ourselves. So I just thought, Thai boxing means nothing to me, so I'll just have a Thai boxing fight, try and get my confidence back up again and see how that goes. And then I just never went back to MMA. I kept winning. You like what you're good at, don't you? So I just carried on doing Thai. And then 22, 23 fights later, I am where I am now.
Yeah. So when you were sort of making the transition over to Thai, was there any particular fighters that you were sort of looking up to for inspiration?
Not really, because I was a bit ignorant to be honest. I was a bit like, I just was coming from the MMA point of view. I thought it was just punching and kicking people in the head and seeing who gives the most damage. Do you know what I mean? I didn't think there was this kind of technical aspect of it. And it was only till I think I'd won 4, then I had a loss. So I decided to go to gym where I'm at now, Majestic in Wigan, where he kind of sat me down and explained the rule sets and what scores and what doesn't. And so, no, not really. It wasn't anyone in particular, but that was when I kind of made the change over and decided that was for me then, when I realised it's like a chess match. It's not just kicking the shit out of each other. There's a chess match here. There's a tactical aspect to it.
So now that you're obviously in, Ty Moore is the fighters that you've watched to learn techniques and sort of learn from?
I try and there'd be no point me watching with the Thai at 55 kilos who's fast and like a whippet. So I try and watch people my size, really, size, my style, because then you can pick up tips that work for me. Do you know what I mean? I'm not a massive fan of clinching. I can do it and I can nullify it, but I'm not going to stand there and clinch someone for 5 rounds. It's just not my cup of tea, that. So I want to watch someone who's like me, tall, long, likes to teep, likes to punch as well, but I like my left body kick. So I've been watching fighters that really like that, who like a left kick and like the body kicks and can score and can do a lot, really, do the whole thing.
Yeah. And obviously you mentioned that you started in MMA. Obviously you've had a lot of success in Thai. Do you think you'd ever consider going back into MMA, or do you think now Thai is your place?
I just think, like, I've rolled a Matthew like a few months ago when in the lockdown stuff, when we couldn't really train and that. Obviously, my gym in Wigan wasn't open properly, so he couldn't travel. And I'd roll Matthew. It's moved on too much. I think I'd be playing catch up massively. I need to knock down the head. I'd have to be doing it for a year solidly, just the ground game and the wrestling, and just smack that completely. I think I don't think it's ever too late to do it, but it's just, I love Ty, and I think I'd just get smashed, to be fair. I just don't think, that was what I used to struggle with when I did MMA. I could do the striking, the jiu-jitsu and wrestling all separately, but once you put it all together, that's when I'd get caught in stupid little things, and it was putting all together that I struggled with.
Yeah, and it does evolve quite fast as well, doesn't it, Lee?
Yeah, hugely.
Boxing has been around forever, aren't they? MMA is still relatively young, so there's new moves and new stuff coming out every week, isn't there? It's hard to keep a grasp on it for me.
Yeah, definitely.
So, obviously, you've got Matt in MMA, yourself in Thai. Does it help you when you're training for a fight, being able to have Matt there, bringing in sort of a different style into your training? Yeah.
Especially for this last one, because it was the biggest part of my career. He's padding me every other day, sometimes every day. And it's just, my main gym's in Wigan that I train at. But to get that little bit of extra every night, don't have to go a long way, 100%. To have someone there who's relatively good at holding pads, or I can direct him stuff I want to go over, like drill and stuff. Yeah, that was a massive help, yeah.
So finally then, if you said you, at the moment you haven't got a fight scheduled for this year, if you don't end up fighting again this year, what's the goals for 2022?
World champion, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I say, what's the point doing it if you don't want a world champion? Yeah, 1,000,000%.
Couldn't agree
more. Whether that's a multi Grand Prix or that's WBC, or maybe I get into one, that's the goal, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, can't wait to continue following your career. It's been great having you on today, Dan. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you.
All the best for the future, and all the best with Forge as well.
Damn, mate.
Take it easy.
Cheers, pal. Bye.
This is the greatest. I love it.
It was super necessary.
And delicious.